Well, I'm joined by Tony Conti of NFLDraftBlitz.com, an expert when it comes to the draft. One of the things that I really do not have much expertise on. Tony, thanks for joining me. I guess the one good thing for the Chiefs and Rams and their fans is at least having a lousy year last year, they get a lot of hype in April with the high draft picks, and that's exactly what the Chiefs and Rams have. Number two for the Rams, number five for the Chiefs.
You could really debate whether or not that's a good thing at this point with the salaries that people are eating up. You see most people trying to trade to get out of that spot. There's a lot of rumors of the Rams trying to trade down, and more specifically with the Saints. That rumor circulated last night that the Saints were trying to get up to number two to land Glenn Dorsey. So, you know, nobody wants these high-priced guys. There's a really good top six, but, you know, again, they're going to command really large salaries, and a team like the Chiefs has a lot of needs right now, so they're not really sure they want to spend that much money. So it's a little difficult, but, yes, they are going to get a high-profile player.
Yeah, absolutely. And when do most of the trading down or the trading up, when does that take place? Does that take place on draft day, or will that happen beforehand? What's been the history with that?
You've had one or two take place maybe a day before. But, yeah, usually it's that day. And this year, keep in mind, there's less time between picks. You got 10 minutes between picks. The draft is going to go back to 3 o'clock. That doesn't affect much, but teams are going to be negotiating differently. There's a lot of factors at work. Yeah, they used to have the famous trade chart from Jimmy Johnson that said this pick is worth this much. You know, the first overall pick was worth $3,000. And teams in the top 10 are now trying to circulate a different chart that devalues that top pick, so that trading is more possible. Right now, nobody wants the first overall pick because of the expectations and the high salary it's going to command. It's been going up every year. So, yeah, these draft day trades usually happen at the 11th hour, right at the last minute. That's why even teams who say a day ahead of time they're taking pick number one or pick number two, they always try to trade at the last minute just to see what's out there, because they think the value of the pick's going to go up when people start to panic.
Yeah, and let's start right at the top, because Miami has the first pick, and they've been talking to Jake Long, the offensive tackle from Michigan, which I think, you know, certainly have an effect on what the Rams and the Chiefs do down at number five. What are you gathering from this? Is this really going to happen? Will they draft Jake Long, or are they just kind of playing a game here to get other teams to maybe bite? Because I know at first they wanted to get rid of that pick.
Oh, they absolutely do, but it's just such a high value. They're just trying to see what the market is. That's what that new chart is for. Like, okay, well, we may take the highest bidder, even if it's not the value we want. The thing is with Jake Long, and the reason they're negotiating with him first, is that any team in that top five could take an offensive lineman. I know Kansas City is very high on Jake Long and would love to see him fall. The Rams, Orlando Pace is getting older, so they're thinking about it. Wayne Gandy is the left tackle for Atlanta. Oakland pretty much failed in getting Robert Gallery a couple years ago. The only reason Jake Long gets negotiated with first is that he's the one who fits into any of those top five teams. So, yeah, they're going to drive up the value of that pick by talking to him. Vernon Golston may be the one they actually want, but they're not sure he's worth that ridiculous salary that a defensive end or a linebacker is going to command if they come first overall.
All right, so let's say you're running the Rams right now. What are you focusing in on, and how are you planning your draft, and what players are you looking at right now to fit your needs?
The bottom line is the Rams need a complete defensive line, and they're doing a really good job at trying to build it, but one more piece in that puzzle could really make just havoc for teams up front. Okay, you got Leonard Little, and he's in the middle of his 30s now. He's not as young as he used to be, but he's still getting pressure on the quarterback, but he demands a lot of attention. So you put Adam Carricker in there, move him to defensive tackle. If you can get another defensive lineman, it's going to make a lot of sense. I know they're big on Glenn Dorsey, and that's why the trade is being discussed right now with the Saints, because the Saints want to get up there and take him. And then I don't think it's a good move for the Rams to trade out, because there's so many good players on the defensive line that are going to go in the top eight. But I'm definitely going to think defensive end, and they got to hope that one of them is going to be there. Chris Long and Vernon Golston. Chris Long of Virginia, Vernon Golston of Ohio State are both elite defensive ends. So one of them is going to be available at that second pick, and that's really who they have to focus on. Someone else to get pressure on that quarterback and take pressure out of the off the secondary. Get a few sacks in there, and that defense is going to be feared.
So really, they have no worries about what Miami is going to do necessarily, because they're going to end up with one of those two, from what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think those are the two you're looking at. And Glenn Dorsey, again, he's another guy on the defensive line. You put him on the interior, he's going to command attention as well. So they have a lot of options. I don't think, if I were the Rams, I wouldn't move at all. I would definitely stick, and like I'm saying, the best player that we're all saying that the best player available is Chris Long. That is the NFL draft blitz stance, is that he's the best player available. And then probably Dorsey. I think Dorsey's a little bit higher on my list than Golston, but I think Golston fits the need better. He's going to get you the sacks, and he's going to make an impact on the defense right away. There are some weird rumors that the Rams are interested in Darren McFadden. Those don't make any sense to me whatsoever. Taking another running back would just be just filling a hole that isn't there, basically. Steven Jackson catches the ball well. He runs well. He doesn't even really need a compliment to take carries away from him. He's that much of a workhorse. So to take Darren McFadden makes no sense to me.
We're talking with Tony Conte of NFLDraftBlitz.com, and you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to ask you about that because the Rams have these invites. All the teams do it, where they invite prospects to come in, and they kind of interview them and run them through the mill one more time. And yeah, they had Arkansas running back Darren McFadden in town, and I was kind of scratching my head. I was going to ask you about that, why they would do that. So that's a mystery.
Well, and again, they're dragging up the value because I have him second on my big board. Okay, is like the second best player in the draft. So if you get a team like, say, the Jets or Oakland, and I don't think Oakland should take him either because they don't have many picks. They traded a lot away and things like that. So they need to meet actual needs, not just a luxury pick like another running back when they have a good stable of them. But you bring up that value and think, ooh, I might take him. Then some team panics. And the best thing to do, since I've already mentioned about the five guys that are good for the Rams, if they could trade down two spots and just pick up a couple extra picks, I think they'd be perfectly happy. Because you got Chris Long, Vernon Golston, and Glenn Dorsey up there. So if they could trade down a couple picks, they could still get the guy that they want. So I'm saying they should stay put and take one of them, but if they could trade down maybe one or two spots and pick up maybe a third or fourth rounder, that'd be something interesting to look at. So they're just driving up the value of Darren McFadden right now.
All right, we'll take a look at that. Let's turn to the Chiefs. Their offense was just abysmal last year. And here's the thing that I'm kind of scratching my head with. They hire Chan Gailey, the Georgia Tech coach, and now all of a sudden he goes out with Herm Edwards and Carl Pearson. They go out to the pro day at Boston College. They're looking at Matt Ryan, and they invite him in, and they talk to him earlier in the week. Why would they even think about a quarterback when they have so many other issues, including receivers and their offensive line?
Well, I'm going to put it this way. Receiver, you're not going to get a good receiver in the first round. You'll have to wait for the second round, especially at the fifth overall pick. Now, there are rumors that they want out of their spot, too. So if they trade down to maybe 10 or 15, then we can talk receiver. Right now, you're looking at offensive linemen, and there's three elite offensive linemen in this draft. And most people, most of us that call ourselves experts, agree that it's going to be an offensive lineman at this pick. Now, the ideal scenario is Jake Long falling and becoming a right tackle for the Chiefs, because this is a team that defined themselves by their offensive line for years. They were able to put anybody behind Will Shields and Victor Riley, yes, and things like that. They were just able to run. Casey Wagman's also not been re-signed. So, you know, that's a 35-year-old center you're missing, too. So the popular name is Jake Long. Ryan Clady is a left tackle, and he's smaller, so he could fit in maybe at right tackle in the Chiefs' zone-blocking system. But at the same time, we have a guy named Brandon Albert who has played both guard and tackle. And he's really rising up boards, and that's a popular name to pick. I'm saying Ryan Clady should be the guy at number five, but don't be surprised if you see Brandon Albert of Virginia go there either, because he's a really fast-rising name. It's just a matter of how high teams are willing to take him.
And you also mentioned that the Chiefs wouldn't mind moving out of that number five position. What would be the benefits of trading away? If there are so many offensive linemen that are available.
Well, there are, and one of them, like I'm saying, if you move down to, say, 10 or something like that, you might have one of them. Now, keep in mind, on that second tier of offensive linemen, we can talk about Chris Williams of Vanderbilt, who's a hot name around the 15 hole, and we also have Jeff Otaw, probably not the best fit for the Chiefs system, but he's a mauler. He'd be a right tackle. He's someone else to consider. These are guys that you mentioned. If you move down, the bottom line is, you just, as you said, the Chiefs just have a lot of holes. So if they move down and tried for maybe a second-round offensive lineman, they could rationalize taking another receiver. I personally think they should stay where they are and take an offensive lineman, address the secondary maybe in the second round, and then worry about that defensive line and things like that. Quarterback, maybe take a risk on somebody fourth or fifth and try to develop them. Somebody like Josh Johnson of the University of San Diego, or Dennis Dixon even, in maybe the sixth round. Think about that. But yeah, don't worry about quarterback. You have somebody in the role right now. The best way to go about it is to put more people that put Brody Croyle in position to succeed. All right, he's not going to succeed unless he has great players around him, period.
And I still don't know if he'd succeed with great players around him.
But you got to give him a chance.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing with the Dolphins. I mean, people are talking about, why don't they take Matt Ryan? First of all, Matt Ryan is nowhere near the number one player in this draft. He doesn't. I'd take him in the top 10, not even the top 5, to be honest with you. But bottom line is, John Beck was a first-year starter. His running back went down. His offensive line was in shambles. We cannot judge him fairly yet, period. So I think that's the same thing. As long as you address the offensive line, and then, you know, Larry Johnson's going to have a few more holes, and you were happy with Colby Smith as well last year in that second running back role. This, and Dwayne Bowe is obviously an up-and-coming player. So, again, these guys are going to be the athletes you want. Just get somebody to block for them, and that's priority one.
Yep, absolutely, Tony. NFLDraftBlitz.com is the website. And I want to go back just to get we'll get like your general philosophy. I want to kind of discuss some things with you in general. But before that, let's talk about Missouri Tiger players that could have an impact in the draft. The first name that comes to mind that a lot of people want to know about is tight end Martin Rucker. What can you tell us about him? He was hurt, didn't do much at the NFL Combine, missed a couple of pro day workouts, but is that going to affect him? I mean, they're talking about him falling fourth or fifth round anyway.
He is. The problem with the tight end position is that they're probably the best overall athletes at the Combine. Yes, you're going to go and see a cornerback run a 4.3, and you're going to dazzle with that. But as far as strength and speed combos, tight ends and linebackers are really the cream of the crop. So if you look at somebody like Rucker, you realize there's just a lot of teams who just dazzled at the combine, and that really puts Rucker down a little bit. Yes, there were, you know, issues staying healthy and things like that. He's probably in the top 5 among tight ends. You have him ranked 4th right now. But because there are some top names up there in teams, even guys that we don't really think are that good that we know teams are going to be drooling over. So I would take Martin Rucker in probably later third round. You know, he's got great hands, and he does catch the ball quite a bit. He's not like a glorified offensive lineman. The speed is somewhat in question, though, and it's a matter of how it's going to translate. That's why we look at speed, because everybody's faster at the NFL level. How is he going to translate? So, again, the speed is the only real concern with Martin Rucker, but he's got enough hands to impress somebody. When you're looking in the third round, you could be taking a second tight end, somebody to complement your elite pass catcher that you have. So I like Rucker in that third round range.
Another guy that has really kind of raised eyebrows, at least with Tiger fans and certainly with scouts around the NFL, is wide receiver Will Franklin. Had a great NFL combine, even improved his numbers at one of the pro days here at Missouri. What do you know about Will Franklin, and could he fit in with many teams as a good number 3 receiver?
Well, he's going to go later. You're looking at probably 6th or 7th round for Franklin. It's just, like I said, he had a good combine, but so did so many others. I mean, running a sub 4.440 is going to help you. But people tend to overreach for return men, and that's the big thing with Franklin, the X factor of his game. Someone needing a return man would be willing to put him in that third receiver role, even though he probably fits more as a fourth. His size is the biggest concern with Franklin right now. I mean, 214 is terrible, but again, it's spread out. He's 6 foot, 214. He looks a little thin, so it's a matter of him catching the ball over the middle and things like that, and, you know, actually being able to take a hit. That's the concern teams have of Franklin right now. I have him going in the 6th round right now to the Giants in my 7-round mock draft. So that's where I have him going.
Very interesting. All right, Tony Conti, NFLDraftBlitz.com is the website. I was on your website. Some great stuff. I mean, just the amount of hours and time that you and the staff must put into this, just incredible. I want to just talk to you about philosophical stuff. I don't have any numbers or names or anything in front of me. This is just an observation that I make off the top of my head. But when I see guys like Vinny Testaverde get re-signed early in the season by the Carolina Panthers,
yes,
it, And it seems like you can go and find a quarterback off the street at any time. I mean, there just seems like rare instances where I would pick a quarterback in the draft just because it takes so long to develop that if I'm a head coach and I know I've got two, if I'm lucky, maybe 3 years to really improve a team, I don't know why I, as an NFL coach, would want to take an NFL quarterback, because even the good ones take that amount of time to develop. Am I off base here? Or, I mean, why is a guy like Matt Ryan getting so much publicity? Why is a guy like Brady Quinn getting so much publicity? Because by the time they actually come around to where they could play, the coaching staff could be turned over.
Well, and that's a big thing. That's the situation that Mike Smith in San Francisco is in right now, because Mike Nolan may be on his last year of the job, and then traditionally, someone like him who hasn't quite panned out, that means the clock's ticking for him as well. So if a new regime comes in, you know, Mike Nolan's keeping him in the starting role because he's invested a number of picks in him and so much money in him. So, yeah, he has to keep him in that role. The bottom line is once the coaching regime changes, and that's what's going to happen in Baltimore. Steve McNair just announced his retirement a couple minutes ago, actually. And, you know, Kyle Bowler's there. Yes, Kyle Bowler is there. And, yeah, so that's a situation where, I mean, what does John Harbaugh care about Kyle Bowler? He didn't invest anything in him. He's going to try to bring in somebody. The only problem with this draft and what you're saying about overvaluing someone, it's such a psychological piece that no one analyzes. Look at what the Eagles did last year. They traded out of the first round because there was no one there they wanted. They drafted a quarterback, and they claim it was because he was the best available athlete in the second round. But look at the negative press it got. Like, ooh, what do they think about Donovan McNabb? Is his job secure? So you got now you got McNabb looking over his shoulder. So if you have somebody who's going to start, if you take somebody in those first three rounds, that's going to communicate a message to your quarterback that his job isn't safe or that he needs competition to light a fire under him. So, yeah, in this draft, you're looking at rounds 2 and 3 as probably where you should wait, because Brian Brohm, for reasons that defy understanding, is falling on draft boards. I don't see the separation between him and Ryan that most people do. I think Brian Brohm is as ready to compete as anybody, and he might be available in that early second round if someone trades back into the late first round to jump ahead of those teams. So you got Brohm, you got Henry and Flacco, and even Andre Woodson in the third or fourth round. You might as well take a chance on him and try to develop him and give him that time, because you don't have that money invested in them that you feel the need to reach right away and put them on the field right away. Fans want to see that. Front offices want to see that. You draft a guy at number one overall, you want him to contribute right away. And the bottom line is, you don't need to do that. You might benefit by sitting a little bit. Look at what happened to Philip Rivers. No one knew what was going to happen to him because he had to sit behind a burgeoning Drew Brees.
Right.
And he ended up okay. I mean, he's not an elite quarterback, but he's definitely contributing, and the team is using him well. They broke him in slowly, the same way they did Ben Roethlisberger. You know, he did a lot of running the ball, you know, a lot of play action, maybe only 10 passes a game for Philip Rivers when he first started, but he was getting the job done, and they were winning football games. So your observation is correct. I think there's kind of a drop-off around, like, maybe the top 8 quarterbacks that you'll get in the first 5 rounds, so I wouldn't wait till round 6 or 7, but, yeah, definitely wait, because the expectations decrease right around rounds 3 and 4.
Very good stuff. Tony Conti of NFLDraftBlitz.com.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.